Thankful this morning for the goodness of the Lord, his faithfulness to each one of us. We need him this morning. Ask for your prayers that the Lord would bless our time together here. Bless his word to our hearts and our minds and understanding. I've already been fed to my soul this morning. Sunday school lesson, appreciated it. Pray that the Lord would mete out a portion to each one of us here today. I'd like to begin in the book of Matthew. Matthew, the fourth chapter. The 18th verse. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'd like to consider this morning the thought of being fishers of men. Jesus, as he encountered these two brothers, and they were doing what these brothers did, what their occupation was, what they had learned to do. Remember being by the shore of the Arabian Sea and looking out and seeing a much different technique of fishing than what I'm accustomed to. Those men get up early in the morning and they would take their nets and they would swim out to their boats, and then they'd make a large circuit out in the bay, and they would start to close that net in, and they would then, it was a community effort, it seemed like. There were a number of people on the shore. Once they got the ends of that net back to the shore, they began all pulling it in to see what their catch was from the day. And they would do that over and over, day after day again. These brothers were fishermen. It's what they had learned, perhaps. It was something that they had learned from family, or as they were coming of age and learned and decided what profession, what career they were going to take up. It was that of a fisherman. And so they were casting their nets into the sea as fishermen. I was thinking about what it takes to be successful. You know, we want to be successful at what we do, don't we? We want to be successful if it's an occupation, a career, a job that I'm trying to do. I want to be successful at it. I don't start as something to fail at it. I don't go about something with the intention that I'm not going to do it very well. If I'm going to go and fish, especially for these people, this was their livelihood. I want to bring in as much as I possibly can. Well, there's something required of that, and I know again that our techniques of fishing as we know it today are different than what theirs were. But you know, there's something required of a fisherman. There's something required if you want to be successful at what you're going to do. It requires something. It requires something on our part. And I'd like to consider that for a little bit here this morning. I enjoy fishing. I don't do it very often. Enjoy going out occasionally. But there are some who make it their life. That it's what they do every possible day they can. They're out on the lake or on the river trying to catch fish. And they're much better at it than I am. They've spent many hours and many days, many early mornings, but the crack of dawn, up trying to be as successful as possible in their endeavor and what they're doing and what they enjoy. For many of them, it's not a chore. For many of them, it's not something that, well, I guess I've got to get up and go fishing again. I guess I've got to go do it again. Here goes again. Well, Monday's about to roll around. You know what Monday means? It means I got to go fishing again. That's not generally the attitude that I hear, that I sense from those who give themselves to fishing, or to anything beyond fishing, anything that they give themselves to be successful at. They put their heart into it. Well, the Lord here as he came across these brothers, and they had done this for no doubt much of their adult lives, he had a different purpose for them. A different purpose and calling in mind for them. There's something more for you in life than going out every morning and casting your nets and bringing it in again and cleaning the nets and then starting over again the next day. You know, life can feel that way sometimes, though, that I get up in the morning and I know my routine and I go about my routine and I do it, and then the next day I do the same thing again. But you know, there's a higher purpose and calling in life than that. There's more to life than just going through the routine and going through the motions. There's more to life in whatever our place of life is. Whether we have an occupation, whether we're called to be in the home by the place the Lord has put us. Whatever our place in life, Lord, help us to see what our calling really is. He said, I want you to follow me, and I'll make you something more than what you are today. I'll give you more purpose than what you have today. I'll make you fishers of something so much more valuable than what you have, for you'll go out and you'll catch your fish today, and you'll bring them in, perhaps you will. Some days you'll gather more, some days less. Bring your nets in and gather it and eat what you need to and sell what you don't and gather your livelihood and do it again tomorrow. There's something more valuable for you than that. Those fish won't last, as Jesus taught the woman by the wells. We've been hearing in Sunday school of the water that you're going to drink of this and you'll thirst again. There's something more that I have for you. There's something that you can partake of that you'll never thirst again. And he said of himself that he was the manna or the bread from heaven that truly satisfies. There's something above the things of this earth, above the things of the natural man. There's a higher calling. Lift up your eyes to see something more than those things. So Jesus said, I want to make you fishers of men. And you know that's his desire still today for every one of us. Again, whatever place ours is in life, the Lord has called every one of us to be fishers of men. Our calling and our places in the body are individual and unique, and the Lord calls us. The Lord calls us. It's his business. It's his church. He calls us to that place that he wants us to fill. He doesn't look upon you or me and see, well, you know what? They're uniquely qualified. They have special skills that they've adapted or that they've built, that they've developed, and I really need that. The Lord needs every one of us. The Lord needs those talents and those gifts that he's given us. But it's the Lord that makes us anything. It's the Lord that makes it of any profit, of any benefit at all. It's the Lord that made them fishers of men. He didn't say, you are fishers of men, but I will make you fishers of men. I'll turn you into what you have no clue of how to do. What you're not qualified, you're not capable, you're not able of yourself to do this. But I'll make you fishers of men. Whatever our calling and whatever our place in the body of Christ, every one of us, I believe, are called to be fishers of men. We're called to be able to gain men for the kingdom. Was reading a little bit about what it takes to be successful as a fisherman from someone who has spent much more of his life than I have in fishing and studying it. You remember the story, before we go there, the story of the morning, it would seem, morning time when Jesus came upon the disciples and found them in a boat, and they had been toiling all night. They had been laboring all night. And notice, as we've already said, some of these men, this was their occupation, their profession. You know, I enjoy seeing someone that's skilled at what they do. Someone that's skilled at what they do, they almost make it look easy. Well, I think I could do that. And then you go try it and you realize it's not quite as easy. There's more that goes into it than what meets the eye sometimes. But somebody that has given themselves to be successful at something, whether it's a trade, an occupation, or a skill that they've developed, to be able to watch the way they go about it and the way they do it, we can learn from those kind of things. These weren't novices that were going out into the boat and saying, you know what, we don't have anything else to do tonight. I suspect every one of them had beds at home, but they chose to leave those beds. We're going to go fishing tonight. They knew what was required to catch fish, for they had done it many times. But this night they went out there and I'm sure they did everything that they knew to do. I'm sure that they went about the technique of casting the nets and everything that they had known and that they had learned throughout the years. Well, this isn't working. Let's try this. Let's go about it this way. And they toiled all night long, and there was nothing to show for it. Folks, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain to build it. Unless the Lord is in what we do, it'll be for no profit. It'll be for no benefit. You know, we could get a committee together here today, and we could say, you know what, we need you in this place in the body, and we need you over here, and we need you to go do that. And you know what, we need this kind of campaign and that kind of outreach. But you know, and I'm not saying there's a problem with that. The Lord wants us to reach the world around us. But it's not going to come through our abilities, through our skills, through our talents, through our charisma, through our ability to draw people. It's only as the Lord is lifted up. Oh, Lord, teach us to be fishers of men. Lord, help us to know how to go about it. I don't want to spend my life toiling and not have anything to show for. There's a song that says, let me lose myself and find it, Lord, in thee. One of the verses says something about, Lord, when I stand before your throne, let me bring at least one soul, O Lord, to thee. Lord, help me to be able, whatever my place of life is, Lord, help me to bring some soul to you. There are days that it'll look like we're just not doing any good at all. There may be seasons of our life that we just wonder, are we making any difference at all? The scripture teaches in Ecclesiastes that if we look to the wind and observe the clouds, we'll never sow. We'll never go about it. We don't just work by the side of our eyes. We don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. There's an element to that of being fishers of men. But these men, these brothers and disciples, have been out toiling all night, putting their effort into it, putting their strength into it. And there was no avail. There was nothing to be had. I don't know if this had ever happened to these men before. Again, no doubt there had been times that they had met with limited success. But on this night, there was no success. On this night, despite their best efforts, when our best efforts fail, no doubt they were tired. Maybe a little discouraged. You ever been there? You ever feel that? Lord, I'm doing everything I know to do. Lord, I've been working. I've been toiling. Lord, I'm tired. Whenever I go out fishing, when I do, you know, there's nothing quite like you get the bait on your hook and you cast it out, and no sooner has it hit the water than you feel a tug on the line, and you see the string going out, and you feel that, and you begin reeling it in, and one after another, that's a good fishing day. I like being a fisherman on that day, but you know, it's not always like that. There are days that you go out and you cast your hook and you do everything you know to do, and there's nothing at all. You know, it's easy to get discouraged at a time like that and say, well, you know what, they're just not going to bite. You know what, today's just not the day, and I've come to the conclusion in my limited success in fishing that that's just the case some days. These brothers perhaps were facing some feelings like that of discouragement, of wonderment, of what are we doing wrong? I doubt they were there entirely for the recreation aspect of the fishing. Perhaps they needed the fish. Perhaps they needed what they were hoping to be able to bring in for the night, and yet there was no benefit to be had. Read about this in the 21st chapter of John. And then Jesus came along. The one who makes men fishers of men. He came along and he told them something that was probably counterintuitive. Do you think that was something they had just overlooked all night? I don't know how all this worked and how the Lord caused this to come to be. Did he send all the fish away to another side of the lake? But I'm pretty sure they probably tried both sides of the boat that night, throughout the night as they were fishing. And here comes along one on the shore there and calling out, and perhaps they had a way of knowing that we're the professional fishermen here. Who are you? As Paul, whenever they were setting sail, and the mariners who were responsible for the ship, and Paul had some advice for him. Who are you? Are you a sailor? What do you know about this? We've spent our lives doing this. Paul saying, I don't think we ought to sail. I don't think this is a good idea. You don't know what you're talking about. Here comes Jesus saying, cast your net on the other side. Lord, we've toiled all night. Lord, we've already tried everything we know to do. But they didn't stop there. They said, nevertheless, at thy word, we'll do it. They cast their net on the other side, and the net started breaking, and the six ships started sinking from the success that they had from their endeavors. Oh, Lord, give us souls for our hire. Lord, help us to have the desire and the burden for souls. Lord, to realize the calling that I have in life, that it's more than just the routine and the day-to-day responsibilities of life. Lord, who have you put in the sea around me? Lord, who have you given me a responsibility for? Lord, make me a fisher of men. So now to the little bit of research that I did about being a successful fisherman. I think there's more to this than me taking a list and going out next chance I get and I check the list and I become a successful fisherman. Again, there are years of experience that go into those who are successful many times of what they do. This individual writing about it said, requires patience and persistence, determination. If you go out as a fisherman and after 5 minutes you don't have a single bite and think, I'm done with this, I got better things to do, chances are you won't be too successful. Requires having the right equipment and being prepared. Remember going out with my grandfather who loved to fish. He didn't spend all his life at it, but he gave himself to be successful at it. He was serious about it when he went. And I could remember his poles and everything were all in perfect order, in perfect maintenance. His string wasn't tangled. His bait was already tied. His hook, the tackle, was already tied. And he was ready to go when we'd get up at 6 in the morning or whatever. He was already ready to go. He was prepared for what he was going out to do. He didn't want to waste time when he was there trying to untangle things and trying to get everything ready. There is a preparation. There is an accounting for what needs to be done, an accounting for what I'm going to do, and a preparation. You know, the Lord wants to prepare us for what he's calling us to do. The preparation of the heart, I believe one scripture said, is of the Lord. You know, the Lord knows how to prepare our hearts. The Lord knows how to prepare our tongues, our words, our minds for what's needed for the day. The scripture says in 1 Peter 3 that we ought to be prepared to give to every man an answer of the hope that lies within us. Lord, help us to be able to have the right bait. You know, it's not going to do much good to cast a bare hook out into the water and hope to catch fish. I'll give you a Simple example of my use of a bear hook. Remember as a child in school, I believe my heart was right. I wanted to live for the Lord. I wanted to please God. And I had a certain zeal for my friends. The time that I'm thinking about, that I wanted them to be saved. And so I began to talk to some of them. You know how I went about it? You know, you're not supposed to wear that. You know, if they do that, they're not saved. You know, I can't do this and I can't do that because I'm a Christian. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of interest. Some kind of strange looks. And you know, the Lord wants to teach us to be fishers of men. And it requires us not to have a bear hook, but an experience with the Lord for ourselves that goes beyond just, this is what my church teaches. This is what my parents say I can and cannot do. There's not a draw to that. There's not an appeal to that. And folks, it's more than just, we'll get to this in a minute. It is the words that we choose. It's how we go about it. It's wisdom in how we approach it. But it's more than that. It's an experience with the Lord for myself that'll go further than any words that I speak. That'll go beyond any outward show of profession that I have. An experience that I have with the Lord that has the savor of Christ to it. That'll draw souls so much faster and more effectively than just the empty words of man's religion and traditions. That goes beyond that. Again, Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Lord, help us to lift Christ up in our lives, that He would be exalted in my behavior, in my conduct, in my speech and in my spirit, that it would show forth the grace of Christ. That's what'll draw people. They don't need more of the same, more empty religion, more religious talk. Oh Lord, help us to be prepared as fishers of men. You go out fishing, you want something that's going to attract a fish. You want something that's going to be appealing to the fish. Now we are not called to appeal to the flesh. That's not what we're calling people to. We're not calling people unto the flesh, but we're calling them unto the Spirit. The song that is coming to my mind, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get the words of it exactly. But it's talking about if I could just speak what's in my heart and say it in my words. Speak what's in my heart, the whole world would believe. If I could just somehow get out and relate what I feel, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Surely the world, if they could just taste of it. Folks, do you believe it this morning? When we're tasting of it for ourselves, folks, that'll make you a much more effectual salesperson. More so than saying, well, you know what? Here's what my company's wanting me to sell you. Here's how much it costs. Do you want to buy it or not? But if I can say, you know what? I was skeptical myself. But I went and I paid the price. And I obtained the prize. And let me tell you how satisfied I am with what I've purchased. With what I've given myself to. With what I have obtained. You know, in the time that we're living in today, retail has changed drastically. More and more people are buying from online stores as opposed to brick and mortar. And they're relying even more than in the past on, you go into a store and you look at an item on the shelf and you look at the packaging of the item and you look at the price that's on the shelf, and maybe it's a brand that you recognize, and you make a choice right then and there if this is worth the price that's being asked and whether I want to buy it. We're in a time today that we're relying more and more on crowdsourced information, more and more on the opinions of others, on the feedback of others, Well, you know what? This thing has a 4.5 star rating. That makes me feel pretty good about it. That means that 1,200 whatever people have rated this product, and the overall rating is 4.5 stars. Are you going to feel pretty good about that purchase? You know, I tend to shy away personally, unless there's no other option, from something that has no ratings. Just about. If there's nobody that's bought this and rated it or reviewed it, or maybe the couple that have given it a so-so rating, you know, there's a weight to the testimony of our profession whenever there's something to it. Whenever we can say from the heart, I am satisfied in Jesus. I'm satisfied completely. Folks, there's a ring to that. There's something whenever I can say from my heart. And they come up and maybe and they say, why do you do that? Why do you live that way? And I can say from the heart, prepared to give to every man an answer of the hope that lies within me. Let me tell you about the Lord. Let me tell you what the hope of my salvation. Let me tell you about the friend that I have in Jesus. And I'm doing this for Him. Oh, you see how that has so much more of a draw to it? To be able to say the peace that I found in the Lord. Whenever someone else is in trouble. Whenever someone else is in distress in their lives. It's about more than just a hearsay experience. But the Scripture talks about us being able to comfort others. With what comfort? With a comfort that you've read about in a book? With the same comfort wherewith ye yourselves were comforted. I've tasted of it for myself. I've gotten a hold of it for myself, for this experience with the Lord. And I've got something now. Folks, you don't have to be a preacher to have this. You don't have to be called to be an evangelist, a missionary. You can be called to be a saint. Called to be a child of God and given a testimony to be able to say, let me tell what the Lord has done for me. One of the songs says, I have read within the Bible and I have found it to be true. 'Tis true within my heart. I've read about it, but that's not good enough. I can now say, I can testify to it. I can bear witness to it. It's true. Folks, what kind of rating do you give Jesus? What kind of rating do you, and more than in our words, what does our life testify to others of my level of satisfaction with the way of the Lord? Is it a drudgery? It's not just a mind over matter and I glue a fake smile on my face. But it's about going through the same hardships many times that others in the world around may go through. And yet in that place, finding Christ to be there, a very present help in time of trouble. Being able to find a path through where it seems like there is no path. Through the hardship and through those places to find a strength in the Lord, a determination, a comfort in the Lord, that they'd be able to see something more than what they have. This man said you need to know your target and the surroundings. Those that I've fished with, been on charters and all, and they were after a specific fish. If it's walleye or white bass or whatever it is, and they've studied and researched, this is the temperature that they like, and this time of year that we're in, and the temperatures around, and how long it's been at this temperature, and the amount of rain that we've gotten, here's exactly where I would expect to find the fish. Here's the depth at which I would expect them to be congregating. They know that because they've studied the fish, and they know what the fish is, and they know something about their behavior. Folks, we're not just called to sit in a chapel like this and compare notes with one another. That's important. The Lord wants us. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. We draw strength and encouragement from one another and from the Word of God. But it doesn't stop here. The Lord doesn't call us into a convent somewhere, isolated away from the rest of the world. But He calls us to go out into the world. I've called you. He told the disciples, you tarry in Jerusalem. There are some requirements. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Go out into the world then. Go out among them. Rub shoulders with them. Encounter them. Have business dealings with them. You know, I've heard it said, and I believe it's true. People won't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, the Lord wants us to be a friend. Do you have to be a preacher, evangelist, missionary, teacher to be a friend to somebody? You know, the Lord wants us to show ourselves friendly, to show that we care about those that are around us, to show that we care about their lives and we care about what they're going through, that we, as our high priest, that we can be touched with the feelings of their infirmities, with what they're going through. To know the target and their surroundings. Fishermen may use fish finder, those kind of things. Folks, we rely on the Holy Spirit. It's all we have, and it's enough. You know, there were times where the Lord told Paul, I believe it was, where the Lord had told him, don't go up. The Lord revealed himself by a dream to Peter, I want you to go. The Lord knows how to direct our steps. Whatever place the Lord has called us unto in the body, it's the Lord that builds the house. It's the Lord that directs our efforts, that directs us. Lord, help us to be led of the Spirit in what we do and where we go and the words that we say. It is important to use the right equipment. There are times to tell somebody what you're doing is not pleasing to the Lord. But there are times not to say that. There are times to tell somebody certain things, and there are times to comfort somebody. Folks, we need the discernment of the Holy Spirit. We need to be guided of the Lord to be able to have the understanding. Isaiah, the 50th chapter. I'd like to pick up a scripture here. Isaiah chapter 50 and the 4th verse says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. O Lord, give us the tongue of the learned. Lord, help us to be it. Teach us, Lord, make us fishers of men. Lord, help us to know the right season. Scripture says, I believe in Proverbs, that about a word that's given in season, it's beautiful. Better than, or it's like unto apples of gold and pitchers of silver. It's beautiful. Whenever a word is fitly spoken, at the right time, at the right place, we can go and say, well, you know what? They just need to hear that. Maybe it's true. But it doesn't mean it's the right time. It doesn't mean that it's my place. Lord, give me the tongue of the learned. Lord, help me to be guided by your Spirit. Help me to know what to say and what not to say and how to say it. Oh, the tongue is a powerful and a dangerous tool. Lord, help us to use it wisely. We can cause much damage, or we can minister, as the scripture says, that our speech should minister grace to the hearers. Scripture is coming to mind as well in Colossians. Colossians, the 4th chapter. The 5th verse says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. O Lord, season our speech with salt, to give it an essence. Remember what Jesus said about the salt? If a salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. You know, with our experience with the Lord, our individual personal experience with the Lord, it is so important for us to have the savor, the essence, the flavor to our experience, that it not just become a form, that it not just become a rituals and do's and don'ts and a form that I observe, but that there is an essence to it of the Holy Spirit, that there is life to it, that there's flavor to it. Let your speech be seasoned with that. The words that you say, let them ring true. Let them ring true with the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit that accompanies that. It says, walk in wisdom. For that is our calling. That is our purpose. The Lord wants to make us fishers of men. Lord, help me to be as effectual as I can at what you've called me to be. And I say, Lord, teach me. Lord, help me to know. It's not always a setting like we're accompanied used to here. Lord, help me to know. Put in some awkward situations at times. I'll tell you, I don't always know what to say. Don't always know how to handle a situation. I'm desperate for the Lord. Lord, help me to know how to be effectual. Lord, on my job, can I bring some soul to you? Lord, can I make a difference to someone? And I want to challenge us here. How do we see souls? Jesus believed this was written, if I recall correctly, at a time when Jesus was trying to get apart for himself. You ever feel that way? Just need some me time. I just need to get away. And there's a place for that. But Jesus, whenever he was endeavoring to get alone and apart with the Father for a while, he looks behind and here comes the crowd and the multitude clamoring after him. I know what I think my instinct might be. Oh, not again, not right now. Can't you give me a little time? And Jesus, knowing the hearts of men, Jesus looking beyond those who were part of the multitude, Master, what good thing must be done? Lord, all the questions that they asked tempting him, Jesus looking right on the condition of the heart, you're not true. You're not here because you want to, you're here because you want to, the loaves and the fishes. You're here because, and yet it says, Jesus looking upon them, saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he was moved with compassion for them. Lord, give us a heart of compassion. This is part of being a fisher of men, that I see those around me as fish. That I see those around me, that I don't see them as the annoying clerk. That I don't see them as that annoying person on the other end of the phone that's taking my order, or that's asking me questions I really don't want to answer, that's really starting to get under my skin. That I don't see them just as, it's just an annoyance. They're just a frustration. Oh, there they go again. That's just old Roy down the street there. He's always causing problems. Oh, wish he'd move. This coworker over here I've had so much trouble with. Man, I wish they'd find him another job. Just get him out of my department. Anywhere else. Lord, help me to see them as fish. Needing to be caught. Needing to be rescued from the sea of sin that they're in. Lord, help me to be able to see the potential and the opportunity. And have the desire, the attitude, the burden of heart to be able to win and save those that are lost. It requires practice. Sometimes we can feel so inadequate. Alright, almost all the times we feel so inadequate. You know, sometimes the Lord just wants us to step outside of our comfort zone a little bit. Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it to him. What if I say it wrong? When the Lord's saying, just give him some hope. Just say, and I've got sometimes to just be willing to take the step. To just be willing to say, I've been praying for you. To be willing to say, would you like to come to service? To be willing to say, you know, the Lord inspired me with this scripture. I just thought I'd share it with you. To be willing to follow the leadings of the Lord. requires a willingness on our part, requires some hard work, requires sacrifice at times, may require us getting out of bed when we don't feel like getting out of bed. It may require us going out in conditions that the sun's not shining in a balmy 70 degrees, but it's time to go out there fish to be caught. Requires fishing legally. You can go and catch the biggest fish that you can imagine. If it's not legal, you can't take it home. Scripture says, except a man strive lawfully, he is not crowned. There are some regulations to this. And it's given by the Word of God. It's given by the Lord. We can't go about this in our own way and think, you know what, there's a better way to reach souls. You know what, if we could just tweak this a little bit. If we could just kind of gloss over that a little bit. You know, if we could just be a little bit more like the world over here. You know, if we could just, this is what they like in the world. Worldly churches, you'll hear them say, as they're trying to teach about church building and all these things, you give the people what they want. You give them what's appealing to them. Folks, we can't rewrite the rules. We can't rewrite what salvation is. Salvation doesn't need to be rewritten. The gospel doesn't need to be recreated. It is the saving power of God. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Not ashamed of it. You may laugh at it. You may scorn and mock it. Not ashamed of it. Because I can tell you as a firsthand witness what the gospel has done in my heart. I'm not ashamed of it. You know why I'm not ashamed? Because I know it works. I've tasted it. I've experienced it for myself. And I know that it works. I know I'm not out here selling a sham to you. I know I'm not out here just propagating a lie. It works. I found it to be so. Lord, help us to walk in wisdom. As Jesus told his disciples to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. He said, I send you out as sheep among wolves, not to go out in fear, but with the wisdom that's given of God. And the scripture says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, I need wisdom when working with this individual. Lord, I need grace. You may remember those of New Brother Larry. He said sometimes you have to deal with some EGR people. Some extra grace required people. Lord, help us not to just shun, turn the other way. Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, help me to know. Remember the scripture it talks about heaping coals of fire upon their head? Your enemy? Those who are mistreating you? It doesn't say try to run from the situation. But Lord, give me wisdom. Lord, help me to know the right approach. There are times that I need to walk away. There are times that I need to stick with it. And I must always have the grace of God upon my heart and life. I want to just encourage us this morning. These few thoughts. The Lord has called us to be fishers of men. The time is coming when the fishing will cease. But that time's not come. This is the day of salvation. This is the time of proffered mercy. This is the time, let us work while it is day. Because the time cometh, the night cometh, when no man can work. But for those of us today, I just want to encourage and challenge us that we have the vision to see those that are in need, that we have the burden of heart to care for those that are lost. And close with the thought of the rich man at whose gate Lazarus day after day, with his sores, with his sad, pitiful condition, laid up at the gate of Lazarus. It doesn't tell a lot about what the rich man lost his soul for. It doesn't explicitly say that it had anything to do with that beggar that was at his gate. But I want to leave us with this question. Who is at your gate? The Lord doesn't ask us to give an account for those that are lost, another part of the world perhaps, or in a place that I have no sphere of influence. But the Lord will, with every one of us, lay people at our gate. Who is that? Maybe it's someone in the congregation in need of a friend. Maybe it's a neighbor who's in grief and needs some words of comfort. Whoever it is that the Lord has placed at my gate, I'm going to give an account for that. Lord, help me to fish where you've put me. I say the grass is greener on the other side. Maybe. Lord, this is where you've placed me. Lord, these are the co-workers you've given me. These are the neighbors you've given me. Lord, this is the family that I have. I don't have any other. Lord, help me to make the most of what you've given me. Lord, help me to give a faithful account of those that you've laid at my gate to be able to do for them as your desire was as fishers of men. You pray for me. Amen.